this is Ben of Penn and Teller. You're listening to Three Ring Radio, but I've been known to lie.
June 5th, we ring in 666 Radio Free Satan style Los Angeles. One of the bands that'll be performing is Black Fag. This is a pink or gay tribute to Black Flag. I'm going to be talking with the lead singer, Jeff, the lead singer of Black Fag and the Dead Kennedys, the real Dead Kennedys. So he does Black Fag and the Dead Kennedys. Anyway, listen up and don't forget LA. June 5th, Zen Sushi, Los Angeles. Check RadioFreeSatan.com for more details. Here's Black Fag.
Hello?
Is this Jeff?
It is.
What band are you with again?
Dead Kennedys.
That was a pretty good Larry David moment, huh?
That was definitely that was a perfect one, yeah.
Oh my god, you know, it's funny, I tell Amy, and you know I'm recording now.
Okay.
So you know.
Oh, okay.
Is that bad?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. So, you know, it was funny when I called you. You know, and you said that, I'm like, what the fuck, whatever I said to you, I went on and on complaining about the Dead Kennedys and how I'd probably punch you in the head for that, for, you know, and what, how horrible of a thing to do to Jello Biafra or whatever, and then I find out that you're really the lead singer of the real Dead Kennedys.
That's right.
That's pretty crazy, man.
Hey, you know, it's one of those random things.
Well, it's pretty funny, you know, I thought you were making a joke, seeing as you are also the lead singer of Black Fag.
Right, right.
And that's okay to let people know that?
Yeah, sure.
You don't.
I usually just sort of don't use Dead Kennedys to promote the Black Fag, just to make sure they stay separate or whatever. But you know, it's not a top secret kind of thing. So
yeah. Is that because you have some sort of shame?
No, not really. It's just sort of, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm willing to take on whatever controversy that I may cause, but I feel like the guys in Dead Kennedys have had their share of controversy, so I don't want to, you know, throw anything onto them that they're not, that's undeserved, I guess.
Oh, so it's the reverse. You don't want the Black Fag thing tarnishing the Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, well, I hadn't thought about it the other way. Yeah, I guess. No, I mean, either way, you know, I just sort of, I'm proud of everything that I do and all the projects I'm involved with. It just sort of, you know, but I just feel like, you know, whatever controversy I get from either one, I feel like should be taken on one-on-one instead of trying to, you know, mix them all together and make it into some huge Voltron of controversy, I guess.
Well, is there actual controversy with Black Fag?
Nothing too major just yet, but a few people have expressed displeasure with the idea of Black Fag, saying that we're perpetuating stereotypes and that it's a, you know, that we should be ashamed of what we do and all this. So
really,
which I mean, you know, part of it. I mean, that's part of why I wanted to do the project in the first place, because I think that comes from, you know, it's my belief that comes from just sort of a knee-jerk reaction to the, you know, the use of the word fag, and it comes from, you know, just people, like, you know, thinking that making jokes based on stereotypes is really improper and this and that, and I felt like challenging those rules was an important political statement to, you know, to test where we are as a society, and at the very least, I figured even if we were wrong, at least we'd be getting a dialogue going and making people think about that, you know, sensitive issues, which is, in my mind, what punk rock was always supposed to be about, you know.
So you did this as a statement, not just some funny thing?
Well, it started out as just like a joke. I was just goofing around, and I was like, oh, you know, that'd be actually really funny, you know, to sort of under, you know, to just, you know, these two contrasting images, the hard, you know, tough guy image of Black Flag, and then the idea of, you know, sort of a stereotypical, you know, like gay characters, you know, doing their songs or whatever. I figured that would be just a really hysterical thing to do. And then, but the more I thought about it, the more I realized, I'm like, this is actually like, you know, underneath the surface, just the, you know, beneath the funny stuff, like you could actually, it's actually got the potential to make a few, you know, very interesting political statements as well, and socially political statements, I guess. So, yeah, so I feel like there's a lot of different facets to the project as far as, you know, it's funny because, it just started out as a joke, but it turns out you can have endlessly long discussions about, you know, where we are as society, about equality, about what's
sure.
right to make fun of.
But let's face it, stereotypes exist for a reason.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, in the end, we're not breaking any serious ground. You know, I don't feel like we're the only people. I mean, in essence, it's less of a band and it's more of a performance art piece. Like, we're basically up there, you know, playing characters. You know, we're playing these these overblown...
In Black Fag, characters. Not in the Dead Kennedys.
In Black Fag, yeah. So I feel... So I feel like, you know, that you've got, like, people playing these characters, and then, so, you know, people... I don't feel like we're the first to do that. I mean, you know, Saturday Night Live and Mad TV...
Sure,
and,
no, not at all.
I mean, everybody plays characters, and we're not breaking any ground, so it's just like, but I guess people just get offended because, I think a large portion of it is because we use the word fag in the title, but, I mean, in the end, you know, how could you possibly start a Black Flag, gay Black Flag cover band and call it anything else, you know? Like, it just fits, so.
That's true, and also it's in the ear of the ear holder, I guess, Art.
Exactly.
You know, it's, because I don't see it like that. I see it as just good, clean fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I always figured, and I figured people who had a problem with it, you know, the bottom line is that we have, you know, we have people who are gay who think it's offensive, but then we also have people who are gay who think it's hysterical, and then we have people who are straight who think it's offensive, and people who are straight who think it's hysterical. And the bottom line is, no matter what your background is or where you come from or, you know, or what, you know, what minority group you're a member of, it's like, it just comes down to whether you have a sense of humor or not, so.
Here's some funny things. When I first found you, Black Fag, on MySpace, mm-hmm. I click on it, I go, this is the fucking funniest thing. This is the greatest thing for our show, the show we're doing on June 5th at Zen Sushi. And I think, oh, God, this is so funny. And I'm listening to it, and I'm listening to songs laughing. And I go, this dude sort of sounds like Jello Biafra. You know.
Yeah, I mean, well, when I perform with Dead Kennedys, I don't try to sound like Jello. I don't try to imitate his stage antics. I keep my personality a very big, you know, part of it. Like, I've created my own stage persona with Dead Kennedys. But you know, people have said that though, that like when I was doing Black Fag, that it, you know, sounds like Jello. And I think it's just because I just add that sort of. This sort of warbly and lispy kind of voice to it, and I think that that's just, you know, maybe naturally, like, Jello had that sort of element. In
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So it's not that I was trying to, you know, it's not that I'm trying to imitate Jello in any way, but it is coincidental.
No, but it sounds like it does.
Yeah.
Here's something else. Here's another great coincidence, and I want to know. You know, it's funny, Black Fag, mm-hmm. Black Flag, you're the lead singer of Black Fag, and the lead singer of Black Flag mm-hmm. is rumored to be gay.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I thought that was another element that I thought was, you know, interesting. I personally don't think, you know, that Henry Rollins is gay. But everybody, you know, loves to theorize that. Everyone walks around and says, yo, and of course, because of Rollins and this and that. And I've always just sort of,
you know. I really hate being lumped in with everybody. This is horrible.
Well,
I thought
sorry,
I had some good questions.
But a lot of people do suggest, you know, oh, like, well, of course, it's funny. And I mean, again, it wasn't, you know, whether he, I don't personally, I'll go on record to saying I don't really think he is, but you never.
You go on record, but because you're the lead singer of the Real Dead Kennedys, uh-huh. you have punk rock insider info, and you probably know.
Actually,
that he is gay.
Yeah, I actually, I haven't heard any reliable source. I've heard a lot of people who theorize, and, you know, I've known people who have worked with him, but no, I honestly don't have any reliable info that says, you know, that determines his sexuality one way or
another. Are you saying you know people that have worked with him that have said maybe?
No, just people who, if they've known, they haven't told me about it, so I honestly don't know.
Oh my God, my wife goes crazy over that shit. She goes, that song's about a guy.
Yeah, I mean, well, the way I see it is, like, you know, whether he is or not, I just still thought it was funny to sort of, you know, stoke that fire, because I think, like, a lot of people, you know, it's, whether he is or not, it's like he puts out that, like, Rollins always had that image of, you know, just this sort of
tough guy.
Oozing, supreme tough guy masculinity and all that. So I just, you know, again, the whole joke is just to turn that completely on its ear and just, you know, paint it in the other direction, and it just fits so well. So I mean, it was, you know, again, like I said, the controversy we've raised, I knew I would that would be a part of it. But the idea, the more I told people about the idea, it just seemed too funny not to do, you know. So we get so many, like, people on our MySpace board, you know, talking about how they think it's really hysterical and this and that. So I, you know, so far the reaction has been overwhelmingly, it's been positive.
So what'd you think about my crazy phone call?
Which one? The
one where I said, hey, what band are you in? And you tell me Dead Kennedys, and I say, oh, you know, I'd punch your head in if that were the case. What did I say? I can't even remember.
You had said, like, you were like, what are you talking about? And then you tried to, and then we figured out that who each other were, and then you had said, oh, I was about to give you a whole lecture about how dare you keep touring without Jello Biafra. So I was just like, oh, no. I was like, now I got it, you know. Not that I ever try to hide one from the other, but I was like, I should, but, you know, I don't ever like to, you know, I don't like people to feel like I'm misleading them, you know, from one band or the other. So I'm like, oh, great, well, now I have to explain it, and hopefully he's, because the thing is that, you know, Jello's got a lot of friends, and he knows a lot of people, and he's, you know, worked with a lot of people, so I figured maybe this is somebody who worked with him and who is close friends with him who won't want to work with me.
I've worked with him.
Yeah, well, yeah, so I figured I should at least tell you that I am in the band, and then you could make up your mind as to whether to work with me or not, or at least that we could discuss it if it was a sticking point. So.
You know what, it is when you, until you think about it. You know, I guess when I got the email, I'm like, you got to be shitting me. And I look on the website, and I go, there it is, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then I start thinking about it, you know, what is the real issue there with, you know, Dead Kennedys touring, and I'm looking at these guys, and, you know, they have, you know, I read the whole story, you know, I've read a little bit about it here and there, but as I read it, I can see it from both angles.
Yeah, I mean, the way I see it is, like, there's sort of two elements to it. There's the one element is just the legal stuff and the lawsuits and the whole idea and who's, you know, who's in the right, who's in the wrong there, and then the second element is, regardless of you know, legal matters, do they have a artistic right to keep touring as Dead Kennedys and as a band and this and that? So I mean, you know, I've been you know, involved with the band and researched both sides. You know, when I got offered the job, I was immediately like on the internet trying to research and figure out. I was like, I didn't want to be a part of it if I really thought these guys were wrong. You know, I wanted, you know, this Dead Kennedys were always one of my favorite bands, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, what I was involved with was the right thing. So, you know, like, you know, long story short, I really don't lose any sleep at night over the legal issues. And then as far as them deserving to tour with somebody new, I'm in a privileged position because I got to see them play with Brandon Cruz when he joined the band after Jello left. And, you know, I was in the shoes of every skeptical fan wondering, you know, well, is this going to be a good thing and can they really do it without Jello? And, you know, what is it going to be, you know, I had my arms folded and I was as skeptical as anybody. And then,
what'd you think when you saw that show?
And I was honestly impressed. Like, they came out and they started playing and I was like, it's not 1982 anymore, but I'm like, but that's still a hell of a show, and they still really, you know, that you don't realize like the signature sounds that Ray and Klaus and DH really bring to the band. But you know, when you're seeing it live without Jello, it suddenly you realize like, oh wow, this is great music. The conclusion I made was that, you know, it's like the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You know, like you take, you know, it's not just, you know, four individual guys up on that stage. It's like it's a whole. It's the music is bigger than the guys who made it. You know, it's like the music stands on its own. And you know, I was in, you know, within two songs, I was standing right up front singing along with Brandon, and just I was, you know, completely ecstatic that this, you know, music could still live and that I could still see it live. And it's, you know, so I feel like, you know, you go into one of our shows and you go in
Dead Kennedys, not Black Flag.
To go see Dead Kennedys, to be clear. Yeah, I think if you go in and you just, you know, you can't expect everything to have frozen in time back in the early 80s. You know, obviously things have changed, but, you know, the lineup's changed, music's changed, the world has changed all around the band. Even if Jello was touring with them, it'd still sound and it'd still seem a little different. But it's just, you know, you go in, you know, out of love for the music and not for any one personality that made up the band. So
yeah, I can see that to a point. I guess when I'm on Jello's side, I'm on his side almost, and when I was on the Dead Kennedys side, I found myself slanting to that. So it's hard to be so solid as I was when you
right.
called.
Well, it's funny because I think, like, you know, a lot of people, I mean, Jell-O always had, like, a very, you know, he was a very charismatic individual, like, to this day.
But I think the
guy. So it's easy to sort of, you know, just, you know, read his side and be taken, and to sort of, you know, take it for what it is, and just, it's really, like, again, I saw it as a fan. I was from, you know, from the outside looking in, so yeah. It was easy for me to sort of fall into that too. But I mean, the it's funny because, like, at every show, you know, kids come to see us and they're just as skeptical, and they all come up and give us some of the greatest compliments afterwards about how they didn't expect it to be so good, or they didn't expect a great, and then they said that they got a great show out of it. So slowly,
well, that's,
you know,
that's really that's high praise, I suppose. But I guess the reason people are so on Jell-O's side is because he's been creating forever.
Right.
He hasn't stopped, and there's been, like, 15 years, and we didn't hear from the Dead Kennedys, the band?
Well,
and,
yeah, but, I mean...
How old are you? How old are you,
the
Jeff?
Thing is, I guess...
How old are you, Jeff?
I'm 28.
Okay, so. I'm almost 38, and, you know, for something like that to desert me or something, because I remember standing outside when the Dead Kennedys played at the Metro. Mm-hmm. And listening to him because I couldn't get in. And so he stayed with me for all that time.
Wow.
These guys weren't with me.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the rest of the guys, like you said, that nobody's heard from them, that's like a common misconception too. Because, I mean, the reality is, like, Klaus and Ray had a band, Jumbo Shrimp, for a while. Klaus, to this day, tours with these very random, you know, small bands. Like, you know, they were playing with a group called the Go Going Gone Girls, who I just met when we were in San Francisco. DH has had a side project forever, which is very different sounding. He plays guitar and sings in it. It's called Peligro.
How do you like those bands?
You know what? To be honest, I've never listened to Jumbo Shrimp, and I've always been very curious. And it's sort of that's sort of like a blotch on my record of being a Dead Kennedys fan, is I just never got a chance to listen to them, and I should really bug Ray, I guess, for a copy. But Peligro is really interesting. It's more of a heavy metal kind of sound, which is, some of the songs are really interesting and cool. Some of it I'm just not into, just because I'm not into that genre. But he goes out there and plays super hard, and it's really interesting to see him out in front singing and playing guitar as opposed to behind the drums. And the rest of his band is really, he's got a bunch of talented guys backing him up. So it's always an interesting show to go watch. I've seen him with Peligro play a few times, and then I've seen Klaus play with the legendary Stardust Cowboy, and I mean, those guys, like, all, like, Ray Klaus and DH are all really accomplished musicians. Like, they're really good at what they do, so any project they do is always going to be something interesting to watch. But I mean, yeah, but they have been involved either playing in bands or behind the scenes. You know, Klaus and Ray have also produced a lot of bands and done a lot of, you know, studio work as well. So
right on.
They've always been involved with music. It's not true that they've just sort of dropped off the map. It's just that, you know, they've done stuff on a much smaller scale, you know, but
on a personal level.
Yeah. So, but I mean, they've always had a love for music and they've always been involved with it. And, so yeah, so I definitely think that, you know, if people should be aware of that and not, you know, think that they just stopped playing music and then just picked up, you know, dusted off the guitars again. I mean, they never stopped, really.
Well, that's cool. They did stuff for themselves, personally. They didn't need to support all these employees that maybe Jell-O does.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can't really, it's hard for me to even comment on all this stuff because I really don't like, I don't want to be in the middle of the crossfire because there's such a, you know, there's a lot of tension. I always compare it to,
is
like,
there?
What's that?
There is. I was wondering if you get threatened physically and stuff.
No, not so far. That hasn't happened. I definitely, I know that when Brandon joined the band, and when this whole thing was when the wounds were really fresh, I know he got death threats, and it was really gnarly, and people would throw things at him and on stage. And I've had sometimes there have been people who have, like, thrown stuff at the stage or whatever, you know. But it's actually in the vast minority, which was really surprising because when I joined the band, I was ready for a fight. I was like, okay. I was like, you know, bring it on. I was like, I believe in what I'm doing, and I believe in this band, and I believe that they should be out there. They should be spreading this music. They should be spreading this message.
Because people at these shows are having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was like, people are having fun, but it's also like, you know, to get on stage in front of, you know, a few hundred people or 1,000 people and be able to, you know, a lot of them are kids who didn't get to go see Dead Kennedys years ago. Like, you know, you're talking about teenagers. And
right.
Like, number one, they never got to see Dead Kennedys, so this is, you know, even without Jell-O, this is as close as they're going to get, and they appreciate that opportunity. And number two, it's like, these are kids who are being affected by, you know, by a lot of political decisions being made by you know, Bush and the rest of them. It's like they're the ones who are up for you know, selective service, and they're the ones who are you know, who are going to have to pay down this massive debt that we're in and all this. So it's like to be able to stand up there and you know, and talk about various political issues that I believe strongly in, or to talk about, you know, the religious right taking over you know, the world, and you know, to get up there and talk to people about resistance and about important stuff. It's like, I think that's incredibly valuable, and that's an opportunity that shouldn't be.
You know what? That right there has just won the argument for me. I'll tell you, you saying that right there has definitely pushed me over to say, you know what, you're absolutely right. Because even, I don't know your personal politics, but I definitely know Dead Kennedy songs, and those are very important messages that should be spoke over and over and over again to every generation that's around.
Absolutely. I mean, when we were, you know, the way I see it is like, we were up in, I always try to change it up every night too. I try my best not to offer the same speech every night, because there's so much stuff to talk about. But, you know, it's not like, We're not up there like in tuxedos just saying, you know, like, hey, remember this one? And then we run through, you know, Let's Lynch the Landlord, and it's a big giggle fest. You know, we try to keep it current, and we try, you know, we change certain lyrics, you know, that referred to Reagan or to, you know, people from the, you know, political figures from the 80s. We change it up to refer to Bush or to current people who are, you know, in the news fucking up the world. So when we were in San Francisco, I gave a little speech before we played the song Moral Majority, and I said, you know, this song has a line in it, blow it out your ass, Phyllis Schlafly. I was like, you know, a lot of kids don't know who Phyllis Schlafly is. She, you know, and she's, you know, this religious, you know, right figure who, you know, tried to prevent the ERA and all this stuff, and still believes that homosexuals shouldn't have equal rights and all this stuff. And I said, she's, you know, people, a lot of, and then for all the people who do know who she is, you might have thought she went away years ago, but the truth is she's 81 years old, and she's still out there speaking at colleges, doing a radio show. You know, she's with her foundation that raises millions of dollars to prevent, you know, equal rights. So the way I see it is like, you know, if Phyllis Schlafly and those types of people can be out there at 81 years old still fucking up the world, it's like, then, you know, people like Dead Kennedys and people who are into punk rock back in the day are never too old to provide a counterpoint and to say fuck you to people like that.
You know, I felt there was something wrong with Jello being so angry about things. I was like, you know, why would you tell anyone to not do something?
Yeah, I mean, the way I see it is like...
And so when you say this about the politics and his message, even the stuff he wrote, and your politics seem right on, of course, you know, it seems right on. So it just seems like, man, that's a, you know, that's a good point, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame people for being, again, I don't blame people for being skeptical, because a lot of these people don't know anything about me. You know, I really came out of nowhere. And,
how'd you get the job?
Well, the truth is, I came out to Los Angeles about 5-6 years ago, and I met a friend of mine who was in a band, and we used to just jam together just for fun. I came out to go to grad school for filmmaking.
Right.
And, you know, I always loved music, but I never wanted to do it as a career, because I always felt like, you know, I don't want to kiss ass to, like, record label people and record a demo and deal with all these problems and struggle and find a practice space and, you know, just all the bullshit that you have to go through as a struggling musician. I was like, I just wanted to do it for fun, you know, when the opportunity came up. So I would jam with, other people's bands just for fun. And then my one friend who I was jamming with, when Dead Kennedys got back together, Brandon Cruz, he was the he ended up being their tour manager. He got the job of tour managing them. And I used to say to him all the time, I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, I'm such a huge fan, you know. And now, once I saw Brandon do it, I'm like, oh, man. I was like, if that guy ever doesn't want the job, if he ever backs out for any reason, like, you better be, I better be the first one you call. So, you know, and I bugged him about it and bugged him about it. And, you know, finally, like, a year later, Brandon couldn't do these shows that they had already confirmed in Norway. So my friend calls me up, and he's like, hey, get out a calendar and mark down the date. And I said, why? He's like, because today's the day you became the singer for Dead Kennedys. So it was pretty much that they needed somebody very quickly to go to Norway with them and do these shows, or else they would have had to cancel the shows. And my friend went to bat for me, and he said, you know, this is, you know, I've got this guy, you know, he knows all the words, he's a huge fan, he's good on stage, and, he, you know, his politics are right there with you guys, you know, he'd be a great addition to the band. I guess he just really went to bat for me with those guys. And then, and they figured, well, okay, we could take him to Norway, and then we don't have to cancel the shows, and if he's terrible, you know, well, hey, it's only Norway, like, only the Norwegian people will know. So, and then they figured if I was any good, then they could keep me on, and we'd keep touring, and so... they kept me on, and that was about 3 years ago at this point.
Right on, and you've seen the world now, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough to travel a little bit when I was in college, but with the Dead Kennedys, I've gotten to go to a lot of corners of the world that I, you know, never would have made it to. You know, the first trip we did was to Norway. You know, that was my first show.
You get treated good.
What's that?
You're not like a tourist, you know?
Yeah. Oh no, I mean,
you got a deli tray when you get there.
No, I honestly have to recommend touring the world with a band to anyone who is thinking about not doing it, because it's really like. Not only do you know, you get there and you already have everything kind of set up a little bit, but it's also, you know, whenever you play for a crowd, it's like the people who work the show or the opening bands or the people in the crowd, like they want to show you a good time, so they take you to a lot of the local spots that you might otherwise miss. You know,
right.
They take you to the local bars or the local restaurants, and you get, you know, you definitely get a more hands-on experience. It's, you know, so I've definitely had some unforgettable experiences with Dead Kennedys just. Going around the world and, you know, seeing a bunch of different places and, you know, again, that I wouldn't have seen if I had just gone there as a tourist, so.
You know, that's awesome, man.
It's been a trip. It's been an amazing, amazing experience.
And it's funny, I wanted to compare it to, like, Sammy Hagar taking over Van Halen.
Right.
And I wanted to give you some grief. But when you talk about the message the Dead Kennedys send out and the politics of it, you know, that is so true how that stuff should be perpetrated and or propagated.
Yeah, I mean, I fully like when people do come up and they criticize and they have a problem with it. I'm just like, well, you can't, you know. I was like, I think this music is important and I think it's relevant. And I what's the option? Let it die? Just
that's
like,
the end of the argument, really.
Yeah, I mean, some people still give me grief, but that's sort of where I come at it. As I think this is some of the best music ever written, and I think it's still relevant today. And I think. You know, and I think we put on a good show too. I think, like, you know, not to toot our own horns, but I've seen other bands that have reunited, and it's like they just sort of go through the motions, and they don't really care. It's like if you come see our show, you know, we really care about. You know, we meticulously look over the set list, and we always try to iron out problems, and we really pay attention to the dynamics of everything. And like I said, those guys are seasoned musicians; they know exactly when to. You know, bring it down a little quieter, speed things up. You know, they add some spice to, like, each different song that they do. It's
right
really,
on. So what'd you think of the Jello Biafra Melvins album?
I listened to some of the first one, and I haven't heard the second one yet. The first one, there was a couple songs that I thought were good. I was, I feel bad, I'm not out to talk shit, but just to be honest, I was never a big Melvins fan, like, just originally, just... but then again,
what?
You know,
is this thing broken? What happened? Huh?
What's that?
You're not what?
Yeah, I was just never a big Melvins fan, and again, that's not trying to defame them or say anything bad. I just, you know, I'm very, very picky with music. You know, me saying I don't like anything, that doesn't mean it's not good. I'm just
well, that's
but, yeah,
for
but
sure.
To be honest, I thought, but I did think
you're not metal.
Yeah, you know, I was not a metal guy. That's just my thing.
I am. I'm metal. Okay.
There you go. No, I have a lot of friends who are really Melvins fans. But I did like a couple songs off that album. I thought that it was interesting. And then the second one I haven't heard yet, but I'm a little bit I don't know how to take it, because there's a song on there apparently that where they talk shit about Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, the kids will buy anything.
Yeah, yeah. So I have
dumb punk rock kids will buy anything.
My friend read me the lyrics, but I haven't said the thing. But the funny part is in the lyrics. You know, they make all these references to a child actor taking over the vocal spot for Dead Kennedys, and I was like, well, hey, wait a minute. I'm like, you know, that's the old news. I'm like, where's the song talking shit about me? Like, I'm sorry, isn't that? Haven't I earned that? Haven't I earned someone talking shit about me on a record yet? So, I was, you know, it's kind of a strange mix. Like, to be, you know, on one hand, I'm kind of glad that I haven't been in, you know. That Jello hasn't put me in the crosshairs directly, and I appreciate that very much from him. But then, like, on the other hand, I'm just like, oh, you know, like, that was, you know, it's like a strange, you know, honor almost to have someone write a song about how much you suck, and so I was a little bummed. Mm, that, you
especially
know,
Jello Biafra.
Yeah, you know, I was a little bummed that I didn't get shit-talked on me, but, you know, maybe on the next album I'll finally earn that spot, I don't know.
You know, I heard they wanted a tour under the Dead Kennedys name as well. Or
really?
The Melvins had said, you know, we should go tour as the Dead Kennedys as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I met the...
No, it is. It's something they said, and I would love... It would be great to have... It'd be great to have this great festival where the Misfits, with their new lead singer, plays, and Danzig plays right in front of them, and then, you know, the Dead Kennedys play, and the Melvins with Jello. It'd be just a phenom for fans. It would be
right.
Great.
I don't know. I mean, I think people. I've talked to people who've seen both acts, and you know, I think there's, you know, they have there's pros and cons either way. You know, it's like, But I do know, that the Melvins, when they tour, they play some Dead Kennedy songs in, as part of the set, you know? And so I just feel like, you know, which is fine, you know, like, that's great. Like, if I wanted to go, if I was going to go see Jello play with the Melvins, I'd want to see, you know, I want to see at least a couple Dead Kennedy songs in the set. That's great. But then I just find it kind of, you know, it does kind of get to me that they would, you know, like, that Jello would say stuff like that we're this karaoke band or it's a problem, you know, whereas, you know, we've got three members and they got one, and it's like, you know, but, I mean, it's fine either way. I'm just saying, like, it's just,
no, I hear you.
I just find it strange that people will say nasty stuff about us and stuff that's positive about their version, and I'm like, well, it's, you know, either way, it's still not the real band, so, you know, if you're going to tell us that we shouldn't be playing the music because one member's missing, it's like, then, you know, it's what's good for the goose, good for the gander.
Yeah, maybe it's the exact opposite. Like I told you earlier, you know, I felt almost deserted and stuff like that. And then you think about when they're writing this song about the kids will buy anything. Maybe it is because we've been buying everything for 15 years from the dude. And so we got the hook far, you know, it's way deep inside. And,
well, it's like I said, I mean, I think his strength has always been that he's an incredibly charismatic person. So it's like, you know, and I think it's important what he does. I really, you know, I do like I've always been a fan of his spoken word stuff, you know, since I was a teenager, and, you know, I've seen him do it live a couple times, and I think it's important that he's out there doing, you know, speaking about these important issues and getting, you know, and keeping kids interested in politics. That's, you know, and the work he does is incredible. I just think, you know, the only wish I would have is that he would keep, you know, the Dead Kennedy stuff out of it and just, you know, let it go, but... You know, the way I see it is like I've always compared it to divorced parents. You know, and sort of, you know, there's just a bitterness that will, you know, on both sides of the equation that's just hard to get past. And
well, here's one difference in the bands: the Melvins with Jello Biafra, they have four old men in the band.
Okay.
With you guys, you only have three. You got one young guy there, so there's a chance of a really good show.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I just tell people, you know, come out and see it for yourself. It's like, you know, don't, you know, it's like you know, I can at least pat myself on the back with, as far as my skepticism, because with Brandon, I was really skeptical, but at least I made the effort to go out and see the show and, you know, be able to, you know, speak from experience. A lot of people will just write it off without even giving it a shot. I'm like, well, at least, you know, either give it a shot and come see us and make your mind up for yourself. You know, be open-minded. Or you just, you know, keep your mouth shut. It's like, you can't say that a show sucks if you haven't seen it, you know? It's like, maybe, you know, what if, you know? It's like, again, this is, like, almost going back to the Black Fag stuff. It's like, if people were open-minded and they really thought for themselves, like, you know, that would be, that's the whole point of punk rock, is to get people to question everything. And not just question, you know, the police, or not just question, you know, Republicans. It's like, but question everything. Question punk rock. Question, you know... Question me, question Jello, question everything. Like, you know, so always be critical, but stay open-minded about it. Don't just make your mind up before you've seen or heard something. And I mean, that's exactly what, you know, Dead Kennedy specifically was always against. You know, they always preached open-mindedness. So.
Well, I've got to tell you, as far as I've done business deals with Jello Biafra, mm-hmm. and I've booked him into some things, and now I've done deals with Jeff.
Okay.
And I could tell you, Jeff, you're punk rock, man.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're cool. You were cool to deal with. I would have never thought that you toured the world or anything. I was like, oh, that kid was really cool when I hung up. I was like, right on. We knocked down that deal in 2 or 3 minutes. It was fine.
Yeah, it's no sweat, man. I just, you know, again...
You did ask for a deli tray with just a certain kind of cheese that we can't get, so I'm hoping...
Right, right. Yeah, I'm very specific about, you know, my camembert, so...
Yeah.
I've always just had a passion for music. I mean, it's funny because people will come at and, you know, question my credentials and say, like, well, who's this guy and why is he involved with this and what does he deserve? And it's like, I kind of think it's cool that that Dead Kennedys decided to go with someone who was unknown and who...
Yeah, you know, it's punk rock.
As opposed to putting together, like, an all-star band and parading that around, which, you know, which would have been fine. But I think it's kind of, there's an interesting element to that is, like, you know... You know, to take an unknown is really strange and a big risk on their part. So, you know, again, I always came from it. You know, I joined this band when I was, you know, whatever age I was, 25 or 26. It's like, you know, so I was always into music just for the fun of it. I never wanted to do it as a career, but this is just too good of an opportunity to pass up, you know, like I said, for... You know, because I believe in the band, I believe in what they're doing, and I believe in the message, so...
That's really cool, man. And back to Black Fag,
right.
which that's why I contacted you, and you're Black Fag's on MySpace. Yeah, and I contacted you to do this 666, Eve of 666. And I swore, you know, when I email you, you're like, dude, I got something to do this weekend. I'll be back to you Monday. And then when I started doing the research, I saw you were playing with the Dead Kennedys that weekend.
Right, yeah. I was like, I'm out of town. So,
that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm like, I hope you had fun.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. We played in Santa Cruz and San Francisco and Reno, and it was great. So.
Well, who else is in the band Black Fag? Is there, where'd you come up with this band? I mean, how do you guys come up with, you know, where does this come from besides your twisted mind?
Well, originally it was just me goofing around. I mean, this band, it's funny because, I mean, it's an epic story. This band is something I've had, like, in my brain rattling around for almost 2 years at this point. Because
yeah, we have 25 minutes, and you really can talk more than me. Anyone who listens to my show will say, this is the show that Shane didn't talk a lot.
Okay. Well,
I love it, Jeff, so I'm gonna sit back and let's hear the epic tale. We got 25
minutes.
I'll try
and keep it condensed. I know I have been rambling on a bit today, but...
I love it, dude.
Okay. Yeah, I can ramble with the best of them. There you
You're
go.
Pro, though. You're a pro. You know not to let the interview get in too many shots.
Oh, there you go. The Black Fag thing I had rattling around in my head for like 2 years, and I was like, this is a funny idea, and I'm like, and I was like, well, I can't, you know, I didn't know if I, I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. I'm, you know, I'm straight, and I don't know how people will take that. They won't get.
Oh, you're killing the act.
Yeah. So I was like, but then finally,
is
like,
that an exclusive admission right here?
What's that?
That you're straight? Is that exclusive?
No, because we put on our site, you know, our standard answer is always, if people say, are you straight or are you gay, we say, well, it's none of your business.
Right.
But really, it's not. You know, it's like, it shouldn't matter. It should only matter, the joke should only matter on its own, like on its face. And it's like, it should just matter where our hearts are at and what we believe. And as long as we, you know, believe that we're, you know, as long as we're not trying to defame somebody, it's like art is intention.
Jeff, you know how you said you had to go to the show, the Dead Kennedy show, and you got to come out and try it at least, see if you like it?
Yeah, yeah.
Did that happen with Black Fag?
It's kind of similar.
You were straight, but you had to get into the role?
Well, I just sort of, I was like, well, I don't know if I can do it. And then I was like, well, maybe I could hire, as long as I could find gay musicians, then it'd be cool. And I found a couple people, but it didn't come together. And then I was, you know, lamenting that it wasn't going to work out. And my one friend was like, well, if you just get gay musicians just to be tokens, like just to deflect it, he's like, then that's just as insulting as having no gay musicians. So you may as well just do it and not apologize for it. And that's more punk rock. So I was like, all right, so I just tried to find anybody who would work with me.
Yeah, but what I was asking is, did you have to dance with a man to get into the role?
Oh, no. To be honest, no. I never. I haven't yet taken a walk on the pink side, I guess.
Okay.
So. But you know, again, not that that's anybody's business. I do what I want. But you know, but I found a group of musicians. They were friends of mine. They're in a band called Bang Sugar Bang that's currently out touring and. They were really great, and they learned all the songs. But then, and then a year ago, we were supposed to play our first show, and the guitar player injured his arm, and he couldn't play. And by the time he rehabilitated and was ready to play guitar again, you know, their band had to go on the road, and they were really busy with a new record and all this stuff. So they fell out of it, and I finally put it together just more recently, I guess over this, you know, past fall, with two members of a band called The Shocker. Which is an LA-based band that features Jennifer Finch from the band L7, and they're out there touring right now, too. They're about to go to Europe. And then the drummer was a friend of the Shockers who was in a band called Evil Beaver that toured with the Shocker for a time. So that's the current lineup, you know, and it's kind of like a... But it's kind of, you know, the band is all characters, so it's going to be... It'll probably be rotating members, like...
Evil Beaver?
Evil Beaver, yeah.
Were they from Chicago?
I'm not sure if they were from Chicago. I'm not 100% sure of
okay.
their whole lineage, but yeah. So Evil Beaver, The Shocker, and myself. And then we actually, our guitar player can't play an upcoming show, so we're going to work with a guitar player from an L.A. band called Nothing Yet, and talked with some other people about doing stuff. So, you know, we've only played our one show so far, so and we've got a bunch booked, so.
Well, you've got it together for June 5th, right?
That is, yes, no, it's when we're very serious about playing that show. That really sounds like a lot of fun. So
June 5th, Zen Sushi, huh?
Zen Sushi, I've seen a zillion shows over there, so I think it's pretty cool that you're doing you know, you got both stages going, and you're gonna. It sounds like it's gonna be an event. That's one, probably one of the shows I'm most excited for sure, that we have coming up.
Right on. Yeah, we were gonna originally do it at the Knitting Factory, because that's what, you know, I was hearing was a good place, and they were so corporate and such assholes.
Really?
Like, they said you can't bring cameras in and stuff. I'm like, oh, fuck that.
Yeah, I mean, we did our, Black Flag did our first show at the Knitting Factory, so, and they were really nice, so I can't, I don't want to talk shit about them, but I don't know what it's like to try and put on a more ambitious show, and they did actually, now that you mention it, they did give us a little grief about trying to bring a camera in and stuff, so.
Yeah, no, that's just behind the scenes stuff. I'm sure there's swell people and great shows go there. You know, a lot of bands have a good time. It's just behind, I wanted this show, and that's appropriate for some shows, but for this one, it's an event, not just a show.
No, absolutely.
And I want people to be able to come in and record or do whatever they want. You know, I want it to be, I want the artist on the stage to be every, to do whatever they want.
Right.
Except for a Great White finale.
Right, right. Well, no, it sounds like a great show. I'm definitely encouraging a lot of people to show up, and we're going to, you know, we definitely are looking forward to it. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah, I'm really excited about having you guys on the show, too. I think you're going to steal the show. I really do.
Oh, well, we can I guess we'll wait and see. But, yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it. We've told a lot of people about it, and we've got it up on our MySpace site, myspace.com/blackfag. So,
yeah. Have you seen any of the other acts that are playing, like the Heavy Metal Happy Hour?
No, I looked at their MySpace site, though, and that looks, you know, hysterical, so I'm really excited to see them play. Are they all confirmed and everything?
Yeah, now they are. I just talked to the guy today. It's all set down. You know, we're done. The whole show's down, so I'm so excited to, you know, I'm so excited for them, too. And they have this thing called Headsick. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of them?
No.
Okay, the Headsick is going to perform with Heavy Metal Happy Hour. Headsick is a burlesque thing, but they have, like, gore makeup. Like, the girls look like they're cut in half, mm-hmm. and they do this burlesque thing, but they all look, like, stapled together and stuff. So it sounds cool. Like a great show.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, especially, too, because it's like, you know, I was already trying to think of a way to celebrate, you know, 666. I was like, oh, what's, you know, what's everybody going to be doing? What's going to be happening? So it's cool to have, like, a big event like that to have people celebrate, you know.
So are you saying you're down with the devil, Jeff?
I'm down with yeah, for sure. I'm down with the devil. Why not? Although, you know, not to ruin anyone's time, but I there was some news story a while back that they actually retranslated some old biblical text or something, and that the number of the beast was actually 616. So you know, I don't know if that throws a wrench into the whole show.
Now I got to edit my radio show to cut that out.
Yeah, there.
You're killing the fucking vibe.
Didn't mean to kill everybody's buzz.
616. That's not even a fun number.
I know. It kind of ruins everything. You know.
No, no like, reason someone that was translating said 616. 616 doesn't sound good. 666.
Yeah. 666.
Yeah.
I do find it funny because like if that is, you know, the real number of the beast, then all those people who freaked out over 666 for all these years for, you know, to try and censor people and keep people down.
Yeah.
So you had the wrong number, idiots. So,
I look at 666 as a comedy thing almost. It's funny when people change their address. There'll be a 666 Mockingbird Lane. I can't move there.
Yeah, exactly.
They go to the city, get the address changed to 656 or whatever. They'd probably get it all changed to 616. That'll be funny.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. All those people living in 616, and they've been had hauntings and had you know, I don't know, people coming over, you know, like, you know, mass murderers like gravitating towards their house, and they're like, I don't know why it's we changed our address and everything.
Yeah, well, we're not really into the devil. We're into celebrating the pleasures of the flesh and indulgence and having a good time.
Well, I just think I like the, you know, the element of the devil. I just think is funny. I'm very much you know, anti religion basically, and so I just think that, like, you know, the devil thing is always such a, you know, thorn in the side of all the religious types. So that always kind of, you know, gives me a little cause to giggle, I guess.
That is the reason to celebrate it, though, is just because it's going to really upset the right people.
Yeah, exactly. Not even because we really believe in the devil either way. Just to piss the perfect people off. Yeah.
Are you saying we as in Black Fag?
We as in Black Fag. We as in, like, the thinking community of America.
That's right. Yeah, the thinking atheists that are walking around the world. You know,
exactly. I was very upset to learn recently that there was a big study done that said atheists are the most distrusted minority in America.
Yeah, that was done in Minnesota. I'm a part of the Minnesota Atheists.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I was just complete. I mean, it seemed, when you think about it, it doesn't seem so shocking, but to hear about it is just like, oh, man, I never knew I was part of the most distrusted minority of America. Nobody wants me to marry their daughters, apparently.
Oh, bro, you know, I just moved from the city of Chicago into this real small town, 3,000 people in the middle of the Superior National Forest.
Right.
So, like, we see bears running down the street sometime.
Wow.
Yeah, it's rad, though. Being from the city, it's a novelty for me that I'm not stepping over broken bottles and blood puddles.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
But up here, they just found out about what I do. Mm-hmm. And then the guy from the radio station calls me, and he not on the air, but he's telling me, you got to be ready. And I go, what? And he goes, you're going to be shunned.
Uh-oh.
And I go, shunned? I go, what the fuck is shunned? And he goes, you're going to be ignored. You're going to be shunned. I go, you can't shun me. I'm the shunner. I shun the rest of you. You can't shun the shunner. Anyway.
So what happened? Did you get shunned? Did people
I don't know. I don't ever leave my house.
Okay.
You know, I don't pay attention to people. I go to the grocery store, buy some spinach and some chicken, and come home.
That's great.
What the fuck do I care if they're going to shun me? Fuck them.
You're going to be shunned. I love that you were warned about it, too. It's like, beware of the shun.
He goes, I've been hearing about it all week. And I go, well, I'd be glad to meet with the town if they want to talk to me. I mean, if they want to come and follow me around with a camera for a week, they'll find out I garden. I just made some pesto.
Yeah.
I mean, Satan had nothing to do with my excellent pesto, my man.
I don't know. Are you sure you weren't sacrificing children just to make sure it was extra tangy?
The blood is too salty.
Yeah. It just drives me nuts because I feel like, you know, I for a long time I was just sort of like, oh, to each his own, and, you know, if people use religion to sort of, you know, find themselves and they need it to comfort themselves in this scary world, like, okay. But then it's like the more shit that builds up, it's like you just sort of realize, like, no, it's like it's not just that. It's like religion actively holds back the progress of our society. Like, you know, we could, you know, there's so many things that we're having these ridiculous, stupid debates about, and it's like, but religion kind of just prevents us from moving on and learning and, you know, just progressing as human beings. And it's like, I just think it's a real sinister thing, and I am not a fan. So, yeah.
Bravo, Jeff from Black Fag. That's what I like to hear, because it's a cancer. It's a fucking cancer that is spread so far. It's, you know, I feel like we should just, you know, nuclear blast ourselves and start over.
Yeah, it's at that point, man.
It's fucking, that's why Bush is in office.
Yeah.
Because of the religious right, because of those idiots that don't even think. They just vote on them because of morality.
Yeah, no, it's just completely insane. And it's just like, it has nothing to do really with, you know, it's just sort of like I just object to people who are always like, you know, well, you need religion to define morals and to keep society. I'm like, you know what? I was like, I've never killed anyone, and I didn't need, you know, some invisible being to explain that to me, that was a bad thing to do. It's like, you don't need religion to explain to you, you know, just how to treat people nice and how to, you know, how to be normal. It's like, it's just, it's completely bizarre to me. It's like, and then on top of that, you've got all like a ton of people who believe in religion, and they use it as a excuse.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
I mean, so, you know, so who's really the evil, sinister? Like,
I touched my daughter. Please forgive me.
There you go.
Not, I don't have a daughter. But it's disgusting. Yeah.
So yeah, so it's disturbing. I'm glad I got to vent a little bit about that in public too. So.
Good, man. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm really happy to have met you, Jeff. MySpace.
Yeah,
I feel like MySpace, I keep saying, MySpace is Big Brother, and he's got a hand around our throats, and we love it.
It is. It's true. It's an evil addiction. I'm on there all the time, and it's, you know.
It's sick.
I wish I could stop, but I don't know. I'm going to need to. Maybe if I had the power of Jesus behind me, I could learn to overcome this horrible, horrible affliction, but unfortunately, I'm an atheist, so I'm going down in flames.
No, if you had Jesus on your side, you'd have a reason for looking at all the 16-year-old girls on MySpace sucking their thumbs into sexual nature.
Yeah,
and then you'd be forgiven for that, Jeff, because I know what you're looking at.
Oh, well.
That's what we're all looking at on MySpace.
True, true. That's, you know, there's 60 million people on there. It's, you know, popular for a reason, I guess.
But I love, the one thing I love about the Black Fag, MySpace/Black Fag, the one thing I love that just has made me nuts. The one line in there is, websites are so 80s or 2000.
Websites are so 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, 2 years ago, that's it. It just keeps bothering me. I'm like, why the fuck? I have 10 websites. I'm like, why the fuck am I spending all my life updating these? This fucking black fag is right. I should just have one MySpace thing. That's where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, when I started the band, I was like, you know, we had a MySpace site forever before we had songs or before we had shows or whatever. And it was like, you know, the reality is, especially for, I mean, for certain things, it's like websites are still, you know, fine and viable and useful. But like for bands, it's like MySpace has really kind of cornered the market because it's like, you know, nobody's going to go to, you know, www.yourband.com or whatever. Very few people will, but on MySpace, it's like you have an instant network, like people and you, everything you need. You've got photos, a little bio section, band member names, you know, and you can post a couple free music clips, and your fans can write in. It's just like when I was watching all my other friends and bands do it, I was like, there's no point in even putting up a normal website for Black Fag. It's like, we'll just put up a MySpace site, and that's all we need, so.
No, right, not until you get as big as the Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, exactly. But even them, it's like, you know, it's funny because I actually just was in a whole discussion with East Bay Ray about how we really need an official MySpace site because they don't have one, you know.
Oh, God, what's wrong? I'm going to start one now.
There you go. Well, everybody, there's a bunch of unofficial ones, so I was like, well, we should find one and make it an official one and try and work it out. So, and I was, like, volunteering. I'm like, I'll do it. I'm on MySpace all day. Why not? Well, but then I realized it's actually probably a pretty mammoth job, so.
Yeah, but the thing is, with the Dead Kennedys, they have a file cabinet. Their website becomes a file cabinet for this whole history.
Yeah, exactly.
That you really can't have on MySpace.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing to, like, I mean, I guess MySpace, a lot of people are using it as a portal now to go to normal websites and stuff. And so you do need, like, for a real website to store a ton of old photos and different stuff and interviews and, you know, stuff you can't fit, but.
Did you tell East Bay Ray how many 16-year-old girls are on there showing their cleavage?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't.
That's the motivating factor, bro.
Probably, I should probably mention that next time, yeah.
Dude, they're all in low pants. You can see crack and cleavage all over the place.
Disturbing. It's very disturbing.
Yeah.
But yes, as a moral, upstanding citizen, I find that reprehensible, and I would never, ever use MySpace for such pleasures of the flesh, I guess.
Praise Jesus, brother.
Praise the Lord, praise Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, have you ever seen The Misfits?
No, you know, I really, I've heard about them, and it's funny because, like, again, when I started Black Fag, I was like, oh, you know, the beauty of this, of doing Black Fag is we'll be able to put together so many funny shows, because there are a lot of really interesting, funny cover bands out there, you know, so I'd really love to play a show with them at some point.
They almost played the show, they're going out to the East Coast to tour, and they're leaving, like, on the 5th, but they were actually trying to rearrange their flights just so they could play.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Yeah, we have, like, it's funny how many, one of my big things is I really don't want to play. I don't want to get lumped in with just cover bands. Like, I don't want to play with just, you know, like,
right,
the standard issue, you know, like Doors cover band or standard issue, you know, AC/DC cover band. But there's like a lot of bands where it's like, you know, there's like the Misfits, which is the all female Misfits cover band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, so we're talking about June 5th at Zen Sushi to celebrate 666, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I almost had the Iron Maidens booked on.
Right, yeah, I've heard of, I really want to see them play, you know, it's like, I think it's, you know, you've got the Misfits, or the Misfits, you've got the...
Bro, Iron Maidens, they had a fucking rider like Motorhead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 17 cases of whiskey.
Whoa.
I was like, am I dealing with the real Iron Maiden? What's going on here? So they're
wow,
not playing.
I mean, that's pretty crazy, yeah.
That's what I said.
I mean, we figured, like, you know, eventually we would get to, you know, again, we've only played, like, our first show, and so we want to get to a point, you know, it is a side project band, like I said, you know, for all the members have other stuff going on, plus I'm going to, you know, in the near future, I'm going to hopefully try and get my own project together, like, just all original music and stuff, so, you know, it's, like, we try to keep this, you know, in perspective as a joke or whatever, so it's like, but... We figured, oh, we'll come up with a rider and we'll ask for, you know, a few bucks and a couple bottles of water and just some sort of modest thing just to make sure that each show is worthwhile. But, you know, in the end, it's like, you know, we don't want to ask for too much. Like, we're in it for fun and we want to, you know, be able to play out and let other people enjoy it, so.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, but there was another band called the Kissfits, too, which is, I don't know if you heard of them. They're, I guess, out of San Diego, and they do both Kiss covers and Misfits covers, and they sort of, and they mix up their makeup to be like a combination of like the Kiss and the Misfits makeup.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so I mean, there's like, there's a million bands like that. There's the Ramonas. It's all female Ramones.
They're playing.
Yeah.
They're playing, June 5th.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
At the show.
Great. Yeah, I mean, there's so many bands like that. We just figured, oh, we could put together some really crazy bills. There's a band called Jew Driver.
Oh, dude, I wanted them on the show so fucking bad.
Yeah, yeah. I actually just went to see them for the first time the other day. They played at a Jewish community center in downtown, in the west side of L.A.
Very uptight young men.
Oh, really? They seemed very friendly when I met them.
Well, they're on their space. They're like, you know, they check your profile. If you're friends with any Nazis, they won't approve your. You know, they're very very strict.
Well, I noticed that actually, because I wrote them a letter or a MySpace message was like, hey, you know, I love your band and let me, you know. Yeah, and I explained too. I was like, "Hey, we just we have a policy at Black Flag where anybody who sends us a friend request, they get an automatic ad." Because I figured, like, you know, even if they, you know, it's sort of that was part of the project was like, you know, to see who loves us more, like open-minded people who are just in it for a sense of humor, or would we actually attract a bunch of assholes? You know, it's like if we start attracting a bunch of assholes, maybe that's the time to end the project. But I figured that was at least an element of it to see, you know, exactly who would be the fans of our band.
So it's been pretty good? You've attracted some decent folk?
No, so far it's been incredibly positive. Everybody's been super cool about it, and everybody seems to come from a positive place. And, you know, we haven't really... There was one kid who sent me an email, a message on MySpace, and he said, he's like, are you gay or straight? And I said, well, we say, you know, our standard line is that it's none of your business. I'm like, but since you asked, I was like... We're straight, and I was like, does that make a difference? And he said, well, if you're gay, then I think that that's obnoxious, and if you're straight, then I think that that's pretty funny. And I said to him, I'm like, look, we don't want you as a friend. Like, we don't, you know, please don't add us. Please, you know. Like,
if you're straight, I'm hot for you. If you're gay, yeah. It's disgusting.
It's just, I was like, you know, and I ended up in this stupid, you know, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous because I ended up in an argument with a 15-year-old kid via MySpace, you know, but it was like, you know, it's like, I just made this point where I'm like, look, you know, I don't know if you recognize this or not, but you're being prejudiced and we have no interest in, you know, this band is not about spreading hate and prejudice. We're just about having fun and playing with stereotypes.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, we don't encourage that kind of people, but it's like if they, you know, but we don't also, you know, I didn't want to make it a point of, like, researching every single person's friend list and trying to figure out where they were coming from, so.
Yeah, well, Jew Driver does that.
No, I mean, I respect that because, you know, it is kind of a, you do have this sort of moral dilemma when you start a joke band like that is you don't want the wrong, you know, I understand that they don't want the wrong people.
Well, especially when you're doing Screwdriver covers.
Yeah, exactly. I found out that the big secret is that they don't only do Screwdriver covers, they do just covers by various hardcore bands, so it's not only Screwdriver, I found out, but so they put on a fun show too, though.
Hey, bro, your favorite Dead Kennedy song?
Oh, it's a tough one. Usually, usually I would say Police Truck is probably my favorite overall.
Right on.
Because the lyrics are just so savage and deadly, and then the music is just incredible. Like, you know, super catchy, but also, you know, just super that insidious sort of, you know, bass line and guitar line you know, it's a nice little, you know, perfect little length. It doesn't go on too long. There's not too much noodling around. It's just, you know, very, you know, very traditionally structured song. And then also, like, when we play that song live, I mean, it's just the crowd goes insane. Like, it's, you know, we usually kind of stick it in early in the set, like maybe third or fourth. And it's like...
Police Truck.
Yeah, yeah. So at that point, like, people, like, are finally... It always kind of occurs at a point in the set where people have sort of... grown to, you know, they've seen a couple songs now, they've started to unfold their arms, they've started to open their minds a little bit to the idea of a new singer, and then when that first, you know, guitar chord comes in, like that, you know, those three signature guitar chords that open up the song, it's like the crowd just goes insane, and like, it's, so it's always, you know, it's definitely my favorite one to play live.
For cool, sure. Man, you know, because I only got an hour show, I'm going to play that, and we're going to fade out here. I'm going to play that song, Police Truck. Is there any recordings of out there of you singing?
Not yet. No, we're. I mean, unless there's probably bootleg stuff out there that people have, but nothing that we've put out officially. So we're. But you know, on the down low, we are slowly working towards the end of you know, recording some new music. So hopefully,
kick ass.
Hopefully, we'll get some stuff out there.
That's good news. And June 5th, Black Fag is playing Zen Sushi.
In Los Angeles.
And you're actually excited about this, Jeff.
I am super excited about it, honestly. We appreciate you inviting us to play. We really look forward to it.
And Jeff is down with the devil.
And, you know, I'm down with anything that that insults Pat Robertson, basically.
Dude, I love you.
Aw, man, thanks.
And not in a gay way.
Hey, in a prison kind of way, you know?
Exactly.
I love you too, man. Thanks again for thanks for the interview and thanks for putting up with me, I guess.
Right on, brother.
Take care.
Tonight, we got the truck. We're going downtown, gonna beat up the rocks. You're to the drive, I'll bring the beer. It's a late, late ship, no one to fear. Ride, ride, I'll ride. Shit in your pants. No mood, child. Got a big black stick. There's six of us, babe. So suck a mic.